Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, offering Irish businesses practical knowledge and support to become more sustainable. AIB, for the life you're after.
In the Green Scene today, new schemes to promote biodiversity and the silent depletion of nature's carbon sinks. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What's your reaction to events overnight? Because we're going to drill, baby, drill in the United States.
I mean, I think it's certainly true that anyone involved in science and the climate, that this isn't a happy result for them. I heard a scientist from the EPA talking this morning about what life was like for them in the US, the US Environmental Protection Agency. You know, they said they weren't allowed to use the term climate change. And I think that's a real concern. You know, we're kind of running out of time to deal with this issue. And it's an issue that needs global cooperation. So if we go to an isolationist strategy for big countries that represent, you know, 25-30% of global emissions, that's going to be a real challenge.
And meanwhile, China itself is pushing the green agenda, becoming the dominant force in electric vehicles and in solar panels.
Yeah.
While America sleeps.
And I think it's the opportunity for Europe is to really double down on that investment in science and making sure that we are the greenest continent we can be.
Now, the silent breakdown of nature's carbon sinks. What are those carbon sinks?
So most of the carbon dioxide, the extra carbon dioxide that we've produced, is being absorbed in the ocean. But the other place where, of course, it gets absorbed is through things like forests and soils. And we all learned that in school through photosynthesis. Trees and plants convert carbon dioxide into the air into sugar. And then when they decompose, that carbon goes into the soil. So that's pretty much how carbon gets taken out of the atmosphere, either into the forest, the soils, or in the ocean. But this research that we're talking about this morning is preliminary results looking back at last year, 2023, which, as we've talked about, we know that's the warmest year on record. And what this found was that the land ecosystems absorbed almost no net carbon. And in fact, what's happening in some areas is that the land is now releasing more carbon than it's absorbing when we look at soils and forests particularly. And the reason why this is happening is because of extreme weather events becoming more frequent and causing things like droughts and wildfires. So particularly northern forests, so boreal forests, the kind of forests we associate with Scandinavia, pine trees, we've seen a dramatic decline in the ability of those forests to store carbon. Droughts are affecting them. We also see diseases that we haven't seen before, like bark beetle, and of course fires. The Canadian wildfires that we all saw last year, they released as much carbon into the atmosphere as 6 months of the entire US fossil fuel carbon output. So what we're seeing is that the soils as well are getting drier, they're degrading, and they're also unable to contain that organic matter in the same way and keep carbon in the ground.
Are the oceans still doing their job?
They are doing some of it, but it's also weakening. And what we're seeing is what happens is zooplankton, or these tiny little organisms that live in the sea, they're a big part of the carbon cycle in the sea, taking carbon where they also take it from the sunlight and the air and the water, bringing it down to the depths of the ocean. And as the ocean warms, as we're seeing more melt of ice going into the oceans, we're seeing ocean currents changing, but we're also seeing the temperature profile in the ocean changing. And that's impacting on all of that carbon storage. We're also seeing the ocean becoming more acidic, so it's affecting those creatures that capture the carbon. So the ocean is capturing less, but the soil and the trees now seem to be capturing almost nothing.
So the problem for us will be, if global warming leads to the melting of the ice, the rising sea levels, and the Gulf Stream then stops, we, almost in a paradox, we get colder while the world warms.
And that's why, of course, we talk about climate change, even though it's broadly a warmer world that's going to cause this. But I think the real thing that we need to consider is that the climate models probably didn't really take this into account. We sort of presumed that those natural carbon sinks would broadly continue to function. And particularly if we planted more forest, you know, and we would be able to capture more carbon. But I think that is the challenge now. In fact, the horrible vista that the climate models might have been overly optimistic, you know, whereas I think many of us hoped they were pessimistic.
And what we're hoping for is that we won't reach a tipping point, because a tipping point is something where everything accelerates. Yeah. You know, things are going along gradually, then you reach the tipping point And it's like something falling over a cliff.
Exactly. And there's things like the Thwaite Glacier in Antarctica. You know, if that was to suddenly break off, we see that as a tipping point because it could produce many, many, centimetres of sea level rise. And it's very hard to put your finger on exactly when a tipping point is happening. But what science is telling us is that we are exceeding the planetary boundaries, the ability of the planet to absorb all of this.
Now, we know the Amazon is being attacked all the time by the depletion of forests to make way for either grazing or for the growing of cash crops. Yeah. The Congo, though, might be still okay?
The Congo Basin is one of the few large carbon sinks that is still absorbing more carbon dioxide than it emits. As you say, the Amazon parts of it now net emitter of carbon. And also, as I said, these northern forests in Canada, Scandinavia, they're also emitting carbon. So, I mean, the Congo Basin, but there's many plans for mining in the Congo. You know, it's an area rich in minerals. So we need to consider how, as a globe, we're going to protect these areas without totally disadvantaging the people that live there.
So while we're trying to develop electric cars, which require the minerals from the Congo, so we save on the tailpipe emissions and lose the other side.
These things are all complex, which is why we need good science to
look into them. We'll leave until next week the question of the push for fair compensation for genetic resource use, which I find fascinating. But for the moment, Ruth, thank you very much for joining us. That's Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, offering Irish businesses practical knowledge and support to become more sustainable. AIB, for the life you're after.